Thank you for reading this morning, Sarah. And I hope, you know, as we go through this Colossians series, I hope that you are spending that time throughout the week reading, not just through the letter in its entirety, but in the passages that we'll look at for the following week. I think even for today's passage, you know, I love, you know, this letter, but when I read verses like 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. When I read that at first, the alarm bells kind of go off, right? I'm shocked a little bit because I go, what is lacking in Christ's affliction? But I was told my whole life growing up, you know, that Christ's afflictions, his suffering, his death was full and complete and everything and sufficient. So what is Paul here saying then? If he jumps in and saying, I'm filling up what is in my flesh, what is lacking in Christ's affliction. I don't know. I don't know if any of you have that alarm kind of went off as well for you and this week. And you know, it's just one of those things that there's loads packed in here, but I feel like that verse, we need to unpack a little bit and what that means. And so for the remainder of our time this morning, I hope to do that with all of you today. Let me go ahead and pray for us before we begin. Lord, oftentimes we come up upon verses and passages such as this might throw us into confusion, or we might start doubting, or we might start questioning things. But Lord, we have full confidence in your truth, in your word, and in those who you've inspired to write. So Lord, as we navigate through what it means to fill up in our flesh what is lacking in Christ's affliction, I pray you open our eyes to see, our minds to understand, and our hearts to treasure what you have for us today as we navigate through this. May you be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to really understand this verse, this filling up in his body, what is lacking in Christ's affections, what we need to do as proper Bible readers and as we study and meditate on God's word is understand it in its context, right? Because if you take that verse out and just go, oh, you know, Paul's filling up what is in his flesh, what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, oh, that means Christ's afflictions is not enough, and it's easy to do that. But again, when you take the context of it all, then we can start to unpack this and understand what Paul is trying to say here. But so let's take a look at our context. And I think the best way to do this is to go backwards from verse 29. So we look at verse 29 here, and it says this: for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. In my translation, it says, for this I toil. Paul is saying that there is a purpose to his toil. There is a purpose to his struggling. There is a purpose to his suffering. For this, right? This, meaning all what he's encompassing in these five verses here. He's saying, for this I struggle. But for this, I know I can't do on my own, but I can only do through the power of Christ working in me. So then what does he say? What is he toiling for? What is it that he is contending for? What he's trying to, what is his mission? Verse 28 says, him, Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That is his mission. That is his goal. He struggles and he toils so that he can present, or not just he, but we, right? His team, the team of ministers, leadership, right? All of them saying we, so that we can present everyone fully mature in Christ. And how does he do this? How does he work towards this goal? It says again in 28, him we proclaim. He proclaims Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. That's how he does it. Some translations will say admonish, encourage, right? It's what this is what he's doing. He is proclaiming Christ, admonishing and teaching. What is it that he's proclaiming? What about Christ is he proclaiming? Verse 26 and 27 says, "The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." What is he proclaiming about Christ? What is he proclaiming about Jesus? That the mystery that's been hidden for all ages, not a mystery in which it's impossible for us to understand or something we can't. No, it's this mystery that's been hidden for ages and generations has now been revealed in Jesus Christ. What an amazing mystery this is, in that Israel's Messiah, right? Israel's Messiah is establishing a new multi-ethnic family. It's not just for the Jew, but it's including the Gentile. It's including the nations. Jesus is starting a new kingdom. He is building a new family, and he would live in them and give them hope of glory. When we hear these words, we ought to think of Abraham and the covenant that God made with him, that he would bless Abraham and make him a great nation, that he would be the father of many, that his descendants would be as countless as the sand on the beach or the stars in the heavens. What an amazing mystery that has been revealed in and through Jesus Christ. This is what he's imprisoned for. This is what he is suffering for. He is proclaiming that Jesus is the resurrected Lord and King of all. And people don't like that. So they throw him in prison, and he suffers. And he is suffering, and he is toiling for this purpose, that he proclaim Christ through his admonishing and teaching, so that all may be mature in Christ. Verse 25 says this, which is the church, "of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known." Paul is a servant. He has given his life for this. I have become its servant. Paul's mission, this is his mission, this is his goal, to proclaim Jesus. This mission he's been given, he's been commissioned by God to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He is to spread God's word, not just to believers, not just to the church, but to the nations. He is a steward of God and of his word. Bringing it back to verse 28, he's proclaiming Christ, offering the hope of glory, and he's inviting all peoples of all nations, teaching and admonishing them so they can be presented fully mature in Christ. So then we come to verse 24. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body and the church." You might be seeing this and reading this and going, okay, well, how can this, there's a tension here, there's a contradiction here. But there isn't. "I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions." This does not mean that Christ's suffering was not sufficient for atonement, right? The forgiveness of sins. That's not what Paul is saying. It does not mean we must add more to complete or give worth to what Christ has done already for us. Nothing we do can do that. No, in context of what we are talking about here, I believe when Paul says, "In my flesh, I am fulfilling what..." What he's saying is, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. I believe in context of what he's talking about here is that what is lacking in Christ's affliction is that this mystery needs to be revealed to the nations. That's what's lacking. Christ's suffering, his affliction is full and complete. It is sufficient. It is all that we need for salvation. But what is lacking is the vehicle in which the salvation spreads. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? God still intends to reveal this mystery, this beautiful, amazing mystery to the Gentiles, but they need to be told. They need to be told. We see something similar in Philippians chapter 2, verse 30. And the context of this, let me go ahead and read it. And for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what is lacking in your service to me. So for context of that, Paul is in prison when he's writing to the Philippians. And the church in Philippi loved Paul. And so they gathered together this great offering, this gift of love to support him, to care for Paul. But the issue is Paul is thousands of miles away. The issue is Paul is imprisoned. So how is this church in Philippi going to get this gift of love, this love offering to Paul in prison? There's a man named Epaphroditus who steps up. And he offers, and he's willing to take this gift to Paul. But what does verse 30 says? For he nearly died for the work of Christ. He nearly died. He suffered. He went through affliction. He nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete, or which mirrors filling up in what is lacking in your service to me. Paul's using the same wording here, that this church in Philippi, their gift is not lacking. Whether it was a big gift or small gift, Paul would have seen that and been blessed to his fullest. He would have seen their love, no matter how great this gift was. It's not about the size. No, Paul, regardless of the gift, knows their love for him, knows their support for him. So that's not lacking. No, what is lacking is getting that gift to Paul, in which is fulfilled through Epaphroditus. Let's connect the dots. Christ's offering of love and his salvation is perfect and complete. No one questions that. No one questions that. It is perfect and complete, but it is only lacking in it that someone needs to proclaim it and reveal it to the nations. One commentator says, Jesus brought salvation, we spread salvation. This is why Paul can rejoice in his toil. This is why Paul can rejoice and finds joy in his struggles and in his sufferings. When we suffer and when we go through hardship, it's easy to turn away and go, oh, you know what? God doesn't love me, or I'm suffering, or you know, I must have done something wrong. But Paul doesn't see his suffering as loss. He doesn't see it as punishment. No, he sees it as an opportunity to participate in Jesus' mission in revealing this mystery to the nations. He's going through the suffering. But he says, I get to participate in Christ's mission in expanding the kingdom. I get to pray and love for these people I have never even met in this church, this Colossian church. When we go through hardships, it's difficult. When we struggle, when we are suffering, it is hard. I'm not saying, oh, now don't worry about anything. Life will get easy. I'm not saying your suffering doesn't matter. No. But I think what Paul's doing here is saying, listen, the devil is using our suffering to try to turn us away from God. But what we can do with our suffering through God's wisdom and through following Jesus is turn that upside down so that any opportunity that we can make any suffering that we endure, any suffering that we persevere through as an opportunity to reveal this great mystery to the nations, to people around us. You know, when I was working at St. Peter's, I wasn't in high school on their pastoral care team. I wasn't allowed to share my faith, right? I wasn't allowed to be like, oh, well, I'm a Christian, and this, I couldn't basically tell kids about my faith unless I was asked, right? And one of the students, you know, came up to me one day and was like, oh, Mr. Ju, why are you always so happy? And I was like, that's good enough for me. So I started to share with her my faith. And I said, listen, this is why I can smile. Through the hardships that I've been through, at the time, it was hell. At the time, I nearly lost my faith. I nearly gave up. But because of people at church, because of my close friends, because of the love that God has for me, I was able to endure and persevere, and of course, the power of the Holy Spirit, endure and persevere through my hardships so that when I was suffering and when I came out of that season of trial and hardship, I was able to praise the Lord because He was near to me all the while. And even in times of suffering in which it didn't, where there may not have been a deliverance in how I perceived it, even though there wasn't maybe an answer to prayer that I wanted, even though my prayers may not have been answered as I wanted them to be, I still saw the goodness of God and His nearness to me. And I try and I ask God to help me to see what He's doing through my suffering, through my hardship. Paul's mission is to proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone so that everyone can be presented mature in Christ. And he gladly takes on this suffering so that the word, so that God's love can be proclaimed to the nations, so that this mystery can be revealed. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and we'll have communion.